Getting to know yourself can be a lifelong process, especially since you're always growing and changing. Therapy is all about deepening that self-awareness, because sometimes you don't know what you really want until you talk things through. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online who can take you on that journey of self-discovery from wherever you are. Visit betterhelp.com/positive today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/positive.
Last year, you may have made some smart decisions, and you may have made some not so smart decisions. Like, maybe you had a little too much confidence in that one crypto exchange. The good news is making smart financial decisions is easier than you think. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the weekly know-how you need to get ahead. Sean and Sarah, the hosts of Smart Money, break down the latest financial news and give you honest, objective money advice. Subscribe to NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast today.
The end of the week, meaning our final show of the work week. It's also the last show before my vacation. And I generally, when I take vacation, will take a week. But because of extenuating circumstances this year, my spring vacation, which normally drops in May, so this is much earlier than typical. But this year, my spring vacation wraps around. I actually get 2 weekends. I planned it that way. It's two things. Number one, for the first time since I became a professional, I have 4 weeks of vacation this year. What? 4 weeks? What? All you people out there who earn 4 weeks, I don't know, by spending 2, 3, 5 years with a company, that's not our policy. We don't get 4 weeks till 10 years. And since I just marked 10 years with this company, boom, 4 weeks of vacation. Suck it. Oh, sorry. I didn't mean that. I just meant, you know. So that was so ladylike. Good. We're off to a really good start. Can we strike that from the podcast? Probably not. I don't even think Jay knows what I said because he's looking at me with this weird look on his face.
Oh, no, I heard.
Everything okay in there? Why do you look so, something's wrong in there?
No, everything's fine. I don't get 4 weeks of vacation. That's a problem, but.
How long have you been at the company?
Oh, not 10 years.
See? Okay. You log 10 years, you'll get 4 weeks as well. So this year I feel a little loosey-goosey with my spring vacation. So that's one part of it. But also because it is a challenge. I'm not saying I can't do it, of course. You know me better than that. But it is a challenge to drive from the New York City area to Syracuse, which is 3.5 hours one way, after working a radio show, drive to Syracuse, teach a class, take a nap, do another radio show, and drive back. That's a lot. So for the first 2 weeks, I thought, you know what? I don't think I'll do that. So my first class at Syracuse is Monday as in the day after Easter Monday. And then I'll wrap my vacation around so that I've never done this. I've never taken off 2 Sunday nights in a row, not since I started the show, but I'm going to take off 2 Sunday nights in a row. I'm going to freak people out. People are going to think I got fired. That's what always happens. And then at that point, I'll return Monday, April 17th, but I'll be in Syracuse doing the show. So Jay and I are not going to see each other for what? Is it going to be almost 10 days? It might even be longer.
Close to that, yeah.
Yeah, maybe closer to 11 days, 12 days with the time. So we won't reconvene, you and I, until the following Tuesday night. So yeah, that is nearly 2 weeks. Oh, you're going to break out in hives, aren't you?
Something. I'm going to come down with something at some
Manny,
point.
Manny, it's the thing that happens on this show. Just want you to know. Manny, by the way, is working with us again tonight. We're excited about that because he thinks everything I say is funny. So I love having him on board. So Manny, you need to know this about producer Jay. Every time I have a vacation coming up or a couple days off, he starts to get sick. And then it turns into full-blown something. The flu, a cold, COVID, it turns into something every single time I go away. He has a stomach ache. He has to take off. So I don't know if you're planning on working with us next week. Just beware, because Jay's going to be out a few of those days.
Sounds like I'm going to have to wear a mask.
You He is always contagious, yes. But that's the thing. For some reason, that's why he looks so funny right now. He's looking a little peaked. There's something going on with him. I don't know what's happening with you right now, but you don't look the same.
I feel it. It's starting to hit me. Something.
Right.
He said he was uncomfortable in that chair, considering that he's always in this chair.
Oh, are you uncomfortable?
Yeah, a little bit.
On the what to. Is my left, Manny's right. Okay, so I just warn you now, you might get called into duty next week because something's going to go wrong with producer Jay. I'm just telling you, it's going to happen. Funny thing is, his family's gone too. His dog is gone. He has nothing going on. And yet somehow still, it's going to be a disaster. I know it right now.
I know it too. It's already out there. It's like last time when it was my winter vacation. Yeah, that whole week.
I spoke it into existence. Is that what you're going to blame me?
Yeah.
I'm just letting people know why you're going to be out next week. I was just warning Manny that you were going to be out next week. That's all.
Well, it's good to get some notice. So, yeah.
This is your heads up, Manny. Manny Banny. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. Thank you for all of your tweets today, all of your Facebook messages today. There were so many. You're very kind. I know that you don't have to care about my personal life. I know that you don't have to read my blog posts when I put them out there, but it matters to me that you do. And after reading one of your posts on Facebook in response to my reflections about Grammy Helen, I realized not only have my shows become different in terms of my perspective and my stories, but you all, probably some of you, miss my stories about Grammy Helen too, because she used to be a very real and active element to the show. And so Thursday was hard. I'll be perfectly honest. Even though I was remembering a joyful occasion exactly a year ago, I shed a lot of tears missing Grammy Helen. There's so many stories I want to tell her. There's so many people. Well, so many. There's really just one person in my life that I would really like to tell her about. Mostly, I wish I could hear her pick up the phone and say, Amy, like she used to every single time I called. And I really wish I could hear her laugh. We laughed about everything and absolutely nothing. And so on Thursday, I spent time, I read over the blog post, the one that I shared with you, which is about her 100th birthday. I talked about it with people, including Jay. He listened to my story again. I reached out to friends that I know would understand. And I just spent some time, more time than I have in recent months, thinking about her in a concentrated way. It's not that I don't think about her. I think about her every single day. But I made sure to spend some extra time thinking about our 100th birthday celebration last year and about how much joy she had and how that was the last time. April 10th was the last time that I saw her last year. So I wanted to make sure I remembered her in a different way. On this Thursday, her birthday, so grateful for the fact that she made it to 100 and we could celebrate her. And yeah, I just remember every second about it. So thank you for reading the blog post. If you did again, there's lots of pictures in there, which make me happy, and for sending so many sweet messages. It was also my younger niece's birthday. So I spent, actually, this is what happens with my younger niece, right? She's working, then she's going out to dinner. Finally, I call her in the middle of our phone call. Oh, Auntie Amy, my roommates are calling. Can I call you right back? An hour later, she calls me back. Our birthday phone call was interrupted, but it's okay because of two things. Number one, she's 22. Number two, she and the rest of my brother's family will be at my house in under 24 hours. So it is all right. I get to see her while she had to talk to her roommates and talk to her roommates on the phone. I actually got a chance to see her. So college roommates, I mean, she's not with them anymore. So yeah, it was a melancholy day. It was a day of reflection. But it was also a day of great joy and a day of talking to some of the people that I love most in my life. So those were things that were important to me. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. If you've missed the post, it's on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or it's on our Facebook page. And again, you all are very kind. On this edition of the show, we are going to hit the Masters day number one because surprise, surprise, when Brooks Koepka tells you that he is healthy and he hasn't felt this way in years, you should believe him when Brooks Koepka tells you that he is feeling better than he has at the Masters in a long time. You should believe him because when he is healthy, he is one of the best golfers on the planet. Live, PGA, doesn't matter. That's Brooks Koepka. And there he is at the top of the leaderboard. In fact, he and John Rahm, along with Victor Hovland. So those are your three leaders. But we spoke to Matt Adams of the Fairways of Life show and Golf Channel to end our Thursday morning show. And who were some of the people he pointed to? John Rahm was one of them. Brooks Koepka as well, talking about how healthy he is. And then there are others I think that we were hoping would make some noise, but others that generally do well at Augusta, if not all four rounds, then at least one or two rounds. The defending champion, Scottie Scheffler, is three strokes back. Jordan Spieth, who has come so close to winning multiple green jackets, but still sitting on just one. I say it like it's so easy, just one. Jordan is four strokes back. And lo and behold, Phil Mickelson is in red numbers. How about that? So Phil is at a minus one. He's actually got the same score as, say, a Dustin Johnson, who's also from the LIV Tour. Other guys in there that, at least, and the Masters is like this. It takes prisoners from day to day. And remember, the weather is supposed to change drastically, so that could also have a major impact. But other guys who are in there, you've got Rory McIlroy, who is sitting at even. There's only a handful of guys at even, but he is one of those who is sitting at even. So not out of it by any stretch of the imagination at seven strokes back. So we're going to hear from the various movers and shakers on day one of the Masters. If you're wondering about Tiger Woods, he bogeyed the final hole. He finished at plus two. He does not tee off until 12:54 Georgia time on Friday. Will that give him more of an opportunity to breathe, rest his ankle, get therapy? Yes. So it's not quite 24 hours from when he teed off on Thursday, but he still does have a later tee time, which definitely will help in terms of his recovery. But if you have not seen the video, and it's out there, there's video of him, I think it was the last hole, I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure it was the last hole, in which he was standing at this very awkward angle in a bunker. And for those of you who play golf, you know sometimes that if the bunkers are uneven. Now, in his case, his ball was kind of lodged in the sand on the side of a bunker. So Augusta National is known for some of its crazy deep bunkers. So his ball is in the sand, but it's not at the bottom of the bunker. The angle that with which he hit it and the force with which he hit it, it's stuck kind of on the side of the bunker. And so he is having to set up in this awkward stance in which he is standing all of his weight almost on his right ankle, on his surgically repaired ankle. And after he hit it, of course, he lost his balance and you could tell that he was in pain. Now, will that affect him moving forward into Friday or Saturday or Sunday? Should he make the cut? Don't know. We'll see how he looks on Friday. But it's definitely one of those shots that hurt. There's no way it couldn't hurt. All of his body weight essentially leaning on that right foot. And again, if you play golf, you know. Maybe it's me. I am allergic to the fairway. But I know what it's like to be in one of those bunkers and you're standing awkwardly, but you kind of have to put your weight on one foot or another because you need to be able to maintain the stance as best you can and swing normally, quote unquote, as best you can. So it certainly did look like, after an entire day at Augusta, that was the absolute worst possible shot that Tiger could have been in. And because of that, he ended up bogeying. He couldn't save an up and down. But he is at plus two. He's not out of it by any stretch of the imagination. I'm hoping for the people that love Tiger Woods, and it's good for the Masters that he's able to stick around through the weekend. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We will hear from Tiger Woods, Brooks Koepka, Rory, some of the others before this hour is up. I absolutely promise. We've got a couple of critical games in the NBA, a very light schedule in the NBA. The Mavericks still stink, in case you're wondering. They did not get any help from Oklahoma City tonight. So even though the Mavericks didn't play, Oklahoma City took care of its business, and that's the problem for the Mavericks right now. They don't control their own fate. They got to hope that there's some drama ahead of them in the standings, but Oklahoma City is becoming, I think the magic number is one now to clinch a spot in the play-in tournaments. Oklahoma City, not that the Thunder are automatic, but they're becoming more and more likely with just, what, two games to go now for these teams. Most teams, two games to go. But we'll give you the latest. That includes a win by OKC and then another win by Phoenix. What? Maybe the Kyrie Irving trade didn't work out, but boy, Kevin Durant, when he's on the court, they have not lost. 8-0 now, right, with Kevin Durant in the Suns lineup. And in addition to that, they put another stop sign, another one of those, what are those, you know, you see them in crime shows. I'm certain that they're actually used by law enforcement, but those strips that they put across the road, they rumble strips that they put across the road. Tire strips. You know, when they're trying to, it's like a high-speed chase, and they get ahead of the car, and they put those strips.
The spikes that hit the tires.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the spike strips. So they put those spikes. That's what just happened. The Suns just did that to the Nuggets. They put some spikes under their tires, and now they're scuffling even more. Now the Denver Nuggets are trying to reach the finish line, to use the racing analogy. They're trying to reach the finish line with flat tires. Nikola Jokic did not play. It almost seems like the Nuggets are going to go with a wing and a prayer when it comes to the one seed. They'd rather give Jokic the time off, and not just Jokic, right? But didn't we talk about the number of players that were missing? Yeah. So it's not just about Jokic, but the fact that the Nuggets don't seem to be putting a priority on winning the one seed. They're hoping that the Nuggets kind of back away and that they win it maybe by the back door. Unless, of course, they did tonight, did they? Let's see. Let me think. I'm looking. I don't know. They didn't win, but actually, as I'm looking at the standings, that's what happened. Because of what's going on behind them, they now have clinched the West, right? Okay. So that's what was going on. Look at, I didn't even know that. I was just thinking. If you can win it without having to put your big guy out there, well, that's great news. But I still do not like the way the Nuggets are playing basketball right now. It's icky. It's not the type of basketball that inspires confidence. Let's just be honest. So we'll give you the latest, but it was really a lighter night in the NBA. And get this, we have so much fun football audio. Fun football fodder. That's a good hashtag, fun football fodder. We have much fodder from the world of football. When was the last time you said the word fodder? Anyone? Anyone? Crickets. The last time you said the word fodder. Just like the conversation we had last night about the last time or the last athlete other than Herbert Jones to play in professional sports with the name Herb.
Still don't have one.
And the closest we could come up with was what, Herb Williams? Former Nick.
Herb Williams,
but
former Nick.
How long ago was that, though? That was a while ago.
He was popular in the 80s, yeah.
Okay, so we love the 80s around here. My nieces tell me all the time the 80s and the 90s are back, Auntie Amy. So if that's the last Herb we could come up with, don't you love how I say it? Herb. Herb. I mean, you don't want to call him Herb because that'd be weird. But anyway, so it's a little bit like that conversation. Think back. Back to the last Herb to play in professional sports. The last time you used the word fodder. Bantha fodder. There's that phrase, bantha fodder. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
You don't?
Bantha fodder? Fodder?
Star Wars? Mm. Return of the Jedi?
I should know this.
You should know this. You better look it up. Bantha fodder.
I was thinking like animal fodder, or like chicken fodder. That's a thing, right? Like seeds. No.
Chickens have seeds?
No, it's like chicken fodder. Isn't that like a thing?
What?
I don't know.
Jay, chickens don't come from seeds.
No, I know they don't come from seeds. It's, but you don't grow them like that. But I thought chicken fodder was like something that
okay,
like,
the
like
more
farmers
you talk,
use
the worse
to like sprinkle
gets.
On like the crop or whatever, like the ground. I don't know.
Like fertilizer, you mean?
Yeah, something like chicken fodder, you know.
Oh, my God.
No? Never heard of that? I think it exists.
Do you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You think that the seed they spread on the ground is called chicken fodder?
Yeah, it's like how they eat it. It's like...
Okay, I like it. I'm in. Let's do it. Let's go. Except I'm still stuck on the part about how they you grow chickens.
No, chickens are not grown from the fodder. They eat the fodder, which makes them grow, but they're not spawned from the fodder.
You said chickens are grown from seeds. That was kind of the implication.
Let's clarify. No, they are not grown from seeds. Like, they are a plant. No.
Well, there are people out there. There are people out there that try to convince you that plant-based meat is actual meat. There are people out there that try to convince you.
There's people who believe it.
Oh, dear. I don't know how we got right here. I don't know. Wait, can I tell you guys something really funny? Last night, do you remember that we kind of went off on a couple of different tangents last night? We were having fun. It was, I don't remember exactly what the catalyst was for this text, but a family member of mine sends me a text and says, "You are cracking me up. You sound like me after a couple of drinks."
Thanks.
I was like, I don't think that's a compliment. Oh, shit. And then she says, "I don't have my glasses on, so I hope I'm not making too many mistakes with this text." I was like, well, that was a big mistake.
Go to a pub and have a Guinness?
Oh, my gosh. We're already off the rails. This is the Friday. The Friday is on the way feeling, you guys. This is it. It's the almost Friday feeling. So happy almost Friday to you. I'm not giving you my social media. We'll get into basketball in this shorter segment here at the bottom. And then we're going to go up to the top talking about the Masters Day 1. It's bantha fodder. It's chicken fodder. Oh, dear. That's three in, like, the first segment. That's it. This may be the last show I ever do. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Booker to Durant. Here's the three. Off the back of the rim, not good. Long rebound. Save it, Chris Paul. Try a three. Suzanne! Oh, brother! When you're ready, you're ready. When you have to, you have to. Chris Paul out on top. Little spin move. Drives right side into the lane. Fadeaway 14-footer. Swish! It's good. 116-107, the Suns. Chris Paul with 22 points on the night. Out on top is Booker. Booker on the drive. In the corner to Torrey Craig. Back to Paul for three. Look out. Suzanne! CP3 for three.
Seven,
25.
7 of 11 from three for Chris Paul tonight.
119-111. The Suns in the driver's seat. Under a minute to go.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Al McCoy is a national treasure. When you know, you know. He's so funny. The Suns barely survived the Nuggets by 4 points. Honestly, it shouldn't have been that close, but it was still the Nuggets playing without Nikola Jokic. And they've already clinched the top seed now in the West, though with decidedly less fanfare than there would have been, say, 2 weeks ago. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Coach Monty Williams, yeah, it wasn't his favorite game of the year.
Overall feeling is, you know, you always feel good about a win, but you don't feel good about, for me, how we were inconsistent tonight with focus in transition in the first half, guarding the ball. And then they got some confidence shooting the ball, and then they started making shots.
It is definitely a phenomena in sports at any level, really, that when there's a team that has nothing to lose, or in this case, a group of players that really have nothing to lose, they're trying to make the most of their opportunities out there. Hey, just fire when ready. Ready, aim, let it fly. That was what we saw with the Nuggets a little bit. But the Suns were just a tad bit better. Chris Paul, a career-high 7 three-pointers. Honestly, I didn't even think that was real. A career-high 7 three-pointers? He's a point guard who can shoot. We know that because he's had some pretty impressive offensive games, although generally with this crew, his job is to distribute. But yeah, he was locked in and finishes with 29 points and 7 rebounds.
I think a lot of teams are going to force him to be a scorer. And, you know, a lot of guys, best defenders are going to guard me and Book every night. So he's going to have opportunities to be aggressive to score. And I think every game it may be different for CP. It might lead us in assists, might lead us in points, but we just need him to be aggressive.
I didn't spend so much time finding other guys. It was one point I had no assists for most of the game. That was weird. You know, that's weird. That's never been my story. But on this run that we're trying to have, you know, it's whatever it takes. I don't care what it looked like, how many points, assists, whatever, just win the game.
A couple of things that jumped out at me, in addition to Chris Paul with the career high 7 three-pointers, is that Kevin Durant played 40 minutes, and that's big because they're trying to bring him back to the point where he is got his sea legs under him and where he is able to play the entire game or most of the game should they need that in the playoffs. So for him to get to 40 minutes is a big deal. And then also neither team led in this game by more than 7. So as much as the Nuggets were out there without their star lineup, so get this, no Jokic, no Aaron Gordon, no Michael Porter Jr., no Jamal Murray, and no Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. Okay, so who's left? Bruce Brown? He had a good night, but that's kind of the idea. Is this game never should have been this close because the Suns had a full complement out there. And yet it was. And so better sometimes when you don't have your best offensive night or your best shooting game to still be able to win. It's a good warm-up for the playoffs, shall we say. By the way, KD on TNT and then Chris Paul on Bally Sports Arizona. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. One more. The Miami Heat, they are not making this easy. Fighting, scratching, clawing, doing what they can to try to stay out of that play-in tournament.
Lowry on the drive. Kicks it out to Tyler. One on the shot clock. Rips the net. Good. The Miami Heat have hit 16 of 35 from downtown. 101 points with over 10 minutes to go. Tyler, the quick three. Oh, he feels it. He ripped it. He has 5 threes in this game. Tyler up to 24 points. Tied for the game lead. It's an 11-2 run for Miami, up 104-80 with 9:37 to go. Love just got stripped by Reed. He got it to Milton for 3. He misses. Love gets that one to Tyler. He kicks it ahead to Lowry. Lowry up top to Martin. One-hand throwdown. Climbing Caleb Melton, where the air is rare, but good for your lungs.
All right. Jason Jackson has a flair. That is for sure. On the Miami Heat Radio Network, Tyler Hero, 24 points. Miami goes 18 of 39 from beyond the arc. So there's your game right there. Nearly shoot 50% from downtown. And meanwhile, don't ask me how this is possible. Doc Rivers, he really lamenting that the Sixers did not have that same focus and energy that they needed.
There's more than one thing tonight. We didn't come to play tonight. We didn't have great energy. Very difficult game to have energy, honestly.
Why?
It was an exercise tonight.
I do not understand that. I get that the Sixers already have their playoff spot, and I don't know who's assured of what at this point. They're not going to catch the Celtics, obviously, in the second spot. Can they be caught by the Cavaliers? They're only a game and a half back. So, but that would include tonight, so probably not. But still, like, what does that mean? You're about to hit the playoffs, and it's a very difficult game to have energy in? Is That's so ew.
Yeah, I think he's talking about coming off the big win against Boston a couple nights ago. Embiid with 50.
A couple nights ago.
I know. But they are kind of locked up into the three spot. They are kind of now cruising into the playoffs. They had a big showdown with the Celtics, who you would imagine they would likely see on the road to try to get to the NBA Finals.
Well, in the second round it would be.
Right, that's what I mean. On the road at some point, it's, you know, I think they got up for it. I think he's looking at it as, hey, look, we're human, mental letdown. I get it. I can understand it. You don't want to see it late in a season, but I can understand it.
Mm. Wait, one more, because this is kind of funny. Jay, did you find this? Doc Rivers talking about Joel Embiid falling. Okay, Manny, you found this. This is really funny. So Joel Embiid, he tends to hit the deck a bunch. He still had 21 points, but a reporter asked him about getting nervous when his big man takes a tumble.
When you see Joel fall, you know, as many times as he did tonight, do you hold your breath? And
yeah, 82 games of it. No, really. I mean, the dude's the worst faller ever. That's how I felt like I was coaching tonight, out of fear. Like, and so I couldn't wait for this game to get over.
He's the worst faller ever. And he calls him dude. Dude is the worst faller ever. Men are so... You all with your dudes and last names and funny nicknames that you have for people. I mean, I'm sorry. I'm rummaging around in this bag because I have something I want to show you.
I was going to say, I was a little distracted.
Yeah. Come on, bro.
Yeah, you guys have just have the craziest, like, nicknames.
For well, last names, I think that shows up in, correct me if I'm wrong, guys, that's usually high school, right? Just makes it a little easier, especially with sports, because there is no coach on the planet that doesn't call you by your last name.
That's correct.
So you wind up getting that simply because... I mean, there are times where you don't know a guy's real first name because all you hear is his last name all the time.
Okay, chicks don't do that. So anyway, guess what these are? These are, see, now every now and then, Jay's a candy monster, but every now and then he comes up with a stroke of genius. And on this edition of After Hours, the candy of choice is fudge brownie M&Ms. Have you ever in your life heard of fudge brownie M&Ms?
I can't say that I have.
This is why I had to go all rummaging through the bag. Sorry about that. It was very distracting. First of all, the bag is purple. It actually matches my shirt. Look at it. It matches my shirt. I'm wearing a purple shirt. So the bag
And
is...
I like the peanuts bag, by the way. That's
yes,
impressive. I like
that. Clutch. The peanuts are dancing. Snoopy and Woodstock are dancing. So purple and fudge brownie M&Ms. Essentially, they are melt in your mouth like soft chocolate in the middle. Would you like one?
Sure.
It'll melt in your mouth.
I don't think I can have it before the update.
No, that's the point, is that you can because they melt in your mouth.
Mm. Okay. I don't want to tempt fate.
Fine. Anyway, they are, they're just absolutely delicious.
They look tremendous.
They even smell good. So
I mean, how
could
you go wrong? It's an M&M.
Right. But there are some,
brownie.
For instance, I was all about the pretzel M&Ms until I realized that there's like six in the entire bag. I don't know why they weigh more or whatever. They
pump
just
those ones up.
Yeah, they're not worth the buck, right? You pay extra.
I don't think I've ever had one.
Right? No, don't bother.
All right.
Because there's just not nearly as many in the bag, and they're not worth it.
Hmm.
These are dense fudge brownie M&Ms. So every now and then, Jay stumbles upon a stroke of genius. I wouldn't say it's every week or month, but every now and then he stumbles on a
stroke. They all sound impressive, though. I got to say, though, as a man who can hear himself getting fatter, I try not to go down that aisle in the supermarket to try to avoid, you know, some of this stuff.
Well, see,
so I'm unaware of the new concoctions
that
they come out with because I don't want
to
know
that
this
Jay
stuff.
Goes to the supermarket. He does not. His idea of shopping is the gas station, convenience store, or CVS. Those are the two places
that he
shops.
Man, wherever you can find it, that's where you got to get it.
Thank you.
That's a different story. You got to do what you got to do.
I don't see anything wrong with that.
Yeah.
Oh,
I mean,
no. This is what happens when I work with men. Okay. Well, they're delicious and they're special for a Friday. So thank you, Jay.
I will say I've never had those until before. I think instantly those might be my favorite flavor M&M.
He says that about every different baked good I bring in. This
well,
might be my favorite.
Well, I mean, that's different. But these M&Ms are they're really good.
They are delicious. Delightful and delicious. So thank you again, Jay. All right, coming up, Tiger Woods. Yes, he's sore. What about his game though? Is it sore?
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Just appreciate the memories that I've had here, whether it's in competition or the practice rounds or the stories.
there's so many of so much of my life has been here at Augusta National, and again, just so excited to be back here and be able to compete and play.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Man, those are good M&Ms. Oh, I'm sorry, Tiger, did you have something to say? Is it bad that I'm not even remotely serious right now? I can't even come up with a serious thought.
Those M&Ms are that good. They're mesmerizing.
Well, it's not just that. It's the last show of the week. I'm on vacation for the next week plus. I haven't slept this week. There's really no pressing, urgent issue in sports right now. Not that I ever really take sports that seriously. So I don't know. Just seems like this is a good time to be a total, like, the class clown. Was anyone here the class clown? Or was that just me? Because I was the class clown. Always the one who was cracking the jokes.
Depended which class. You know, I knew which teachers, which I can get away with, what I couldn't, you know, who was around me. So it depended, but.
Well, so my mother was my math teacher in high school. I was always clowning in her class. And then I got in trouble after the fact. But I was always the clown there because it was like I had a reputation to uphold. People knew that I was a smart ass, especially when it came to my mother. So I had to uphold that reputation. However, I was still the valedictorian, so I guess I didn't clown that much.
You're the valedictorian. Do whatever you want in class, right?
Well, no. I mean, I shouldn't have embarrassed my mom. I didn't embarrass her. I pushed back. That's what I did as a teenager.
Were you like a prankster? Or like?
No, I just made all kinds of, you know me, I make sarcastic remarks. I can't sometimes keep them to myself.
Never like, you know, unscrewing the chair or anything like that.
Oh, no, that's awful. People could get hurt that way.
Pranks. Yeah. Words hurt too.
No, not break your bone, land in the hospital. Speaking of that, did you guys hear what Brooks Koepka said after the round today? Oh my gosh. We'll get to that in a second here, but yeah, not break your bone, land in the hospital type of pranks. That's not me. I wouldn't have done that. I've had those done on me before, but I wouldn't have done it. Okay, let's hear from Tiger Woods first. He ends up with a +2. And so he is, let's see, 9 strokes back, not out of it. But the issue is, of course, that this was the day where the conditions were perfect. And so for Tiger, he was really kind of frustrated that he couldn't putt the way he wanted to in the opening round.
I didn't have very good speed early. Had two three putts, and consequently a couple over par, but I didn't hit my irons close enough today. You know, I didn't give myself very good looks. Need to do a better job of that going forward. Hopefully get myself back in this tournament.
It's interesting because the weather conditions on Friday, Saturday, are supposed to be so completely different than what they were on Thursday. So remember, there had been talk about some volatile weather, but essentially it's a cold front that's been sweeping from west to east. My mom just had the crazy storms in Texas overnight on Thursday into Friday. And so they were dealing with the thunderstorms. I know even in New Jersey, where I live, in the New York City area, it was extremely thick humidity, way too early for humidity in early April, but that's what we were dealing with on Thursday. And in Georgia, because there's so much farther south than where we are, not only was it humid, but it was hot. It was hot and sticky in early April. That's just, ugh. So if you noticed, if you watched some of the Masters, you saw a lot of these guys were drenched in sweat. I mean, it was a hard day to be walking the course, but at the same time, because the air was so thick and because it was that type of a day, it was a good day for scoring, right? Like, we're not talking about cold and the stinging hits with the clubs and on your hands. No, it was the day where kind of that humidity, it helps your ball to stick. We're not talking about bop, 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 you know, bouncing as much and balls getting away from you. So anyway, Tiger Woods ended up not being able to take advantage of the conditions on, what was it, Thursday? My days all blend together, and he knows it.
Well, I feel like I drove it good. I just didn't do the job I needed to do to get the ball close. Today was the opportune time to get the ball, get the round under par, and I didn't do that today. Most of the guys are going low today. This was the day to do it. Hopefully tomorrow I'll be a little bit better, a little bit sharper, and kind of inch my way through it. I mean, this is going to be an interesting finish to the tournament with the weather coming in. If I can just kind of hang in there, maybe kind of inch my way back, hopefully it'll be, you know, positive towards the end.
After that round, and after the 18th hole, when he was standing sideways in the bunker and putting a lot of pressure on his surgically repaired foot, he was asked about how he was feeling, and his only response was sore. So I'm sure, not only given the challenge of this particular course, but that last shot that he had to take out of the bunker before he finished up on 18. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So we know that Tiger Woods is 9 strokes back. Scottie Scheffler didn't play well. Rory McIlroy didn't play well either, though he believes that the weather coming up the rest of this weekend could be a great equalizer.
There's still 54 holes of golf left, and a lot of things can happen, and weather coming in and all sorts. So, you know, hopefully we get some decent conditions in the morning. I can go out there and play a bit better than I did today, and try to get myself back in the tournament.
All right, I'm looking weather for Augusta, Georgia, coming up. Here we go. Here is the weather. I'll do weekend weather. Augusta, Georgia, 10-day. We'll go 10-day just to make sure we're on it. Right now, it's 65 degrees. Coming up tomorrow, 78 degrees. So not as cold as what they're going to get for the weekend. But get this, 78 degrees and thunderstorms, 85% chance of rain. Saturday, 50 degrees for the high. So they go from near 80 degrees with thunderstorms to the weekend, the moving day on Saturday, 50 degrees for the high with 96% chance of rain and winds out of the northeast. Oh, dear. Yeah, so those hot conditions, you better take advantage of them tomorrow as well, because they won't work on the weekend. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
Surgeons keep our hearts beating. They do the amazing, help save lives, and so can you. Your CSL plasma donation can help create 24 critical life-saving medicines that can give grandpa the chance for his heart to swell when he meets his new grandson, or give a bride the chance for her heart to skip a beat on her wedding day. Every plasma donation helps more than you know. Do the amazing. Help save lives. Donate today at your local CSL plasma center and be rewarded for your generosity.